The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the August 2022 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll begin with our president's message entitled Changing the World with You. Dear Lions, I am truly honored and humbled to serve as your international president, and I am happy to share with you my message of changing the world. For years, Lions and Leos have been changing the world one community at a time. Now, collectively, we are setting bold, ambitious goals to meet the needs of our neighbors, our communities, and our world. Boldness and action are exactly what we can deliver as we tackle the biggest challenges that lie before us. Boldness, focused on success and excellence, and commitment to service. These are the benchmarks we must use to grow our clubs and districts so we can be there every time we're called on to serve. At our international convention in Boston, I had the privilege of announcing our priorities and our four-year initiative, Mission 1.5, which is our drive to reach 1.5 million members worldwide by the conclusion of the 2027 Lion Year. Although I've been a Lion for over 30 years, it never ceases to amaze me how, as Lions and Leos, we rise to any challenge placed in front of us. I'm excited to embark on this exciting mission with you as we grow our membership and our capacity to serve. I hope the stories in this issue will not only inspire you to grow your clubs and expand your service, but also to share your own stories. When you share your service and membership stories, you let the world know what it means to be a Lion. Every day is a great day to extend an invitation to a potential Lion to join us. Let's be bold and lead the way to be a better future and in a world of change. Sincerely, Patty Hill, International President of Lions Clubs International. Our next article is from LCIF Impact Stories, titled Partnerships with Purpose. When you remove a cataract, people who have not seen their children in years suddenly see them. It's amazing to witness. Past District Governor Cedrus Rekikia shared, while standing under the thick shade of the tree canopy just under St. Francis Nisyabya Hospital in Kampala, Uganda. As she continued to speak about the incredible impact Lions have made in Uganda toward reducing preventable blindness, in the distance, the latest vision project was taking shape. A renovated and expanded two-story vision clinic surrounded by scaffolding could be seen past the trees. This 5,500-square-foot facility, expected to be complete in 2024, should provide enough space and equipment for medical staff to increase outpatient consultations from 2,800 to 8,100 per year. Newly trained staff will also increase the diagnosis and treatment capacity by thousands of individuals. I am excited about the new clinic being constructed, Dr. Lucy Namakula expressed with a smile. This will extend our services to the community and save our patients money. Earlier in the day, she had to refer a family to another hospital because their baby had severely crossed eyes, and the current vision clinic could not manage his treatment. This referral to a larger facility would require travel for the family, which would increase their costs. It is important to support the clinic because sight is a gift. This clinic will save families money, and the new equipment will improve our patient care, so we are grateful to Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF, and Latter-day Saint Charities for supporting us. Together, these two organizations have partnered to give over $420,000 to expand comprehensive eye care services in the Kampala metropolitan area. When the clinic is completed, it is expected to offer 20,250 student eye exams each year, In addition to exponentially increasing the current clinic's capacity for cataract services, diabetic retinopathy screenings, and more. For years, Kampala has had few comprehensive eye care facilities, and they were not meeting the full needs of the community. Knowing this, Dr. Jeffrey Aram and fellow Lyons District 411B decided they could bridge the gap by applying for a Site First grant with LCIF to expand and improve their current vision clinic. Lyons come together to solve community needs, Dr. Aram noted. If we pool resources, we make a larger difference. Efforts like this one prove Dr. Aram's point. The mission-oriented partnership with Latter-day Saint Charities will enhance LCIF's ability to invest in vision care in expansive ways, support sustainable Lion-led projects, and reach thousands of people in Kampala. Additionally, for the medical professionals who will be empowered to serve a greater number of patients more effectively, this partnership will support their professional fulfillment, which is immeasurable yet priceless. I love to help patients see, Dr. Namakula remarked. It is like a bit of magic. Just imagine you've been living in darkness and now there is light. When the doors to the newly expanded St. Francis Nsiambia Hospital Eye Clinic open next year, light will flood each room and patients will leave the ability to see it, some for the first time. LCIF and Latter-day Saint Charities have partnered since 2018 to fight the major causes of preventable and reversible blindness for underserved populations in Africa, South America, and the Middle East. For more information, you can visit lionsclubs.org/CSR to learn about LCIF partnerships and the impact they have around the world. Next, we're going to move over to our features department with Pickleball Pandemonium. Clubs hit the courts for fun, fitness, and fundraising. If anybody knows how to serve, it's the Lions. They've been acing it for more than 100 years. But serving in pickleball, now that's a relatively new thing, and Lions who try it are getting stuck on it like syrup on pancakes. Lifelong friendships are made out of this, Lion Kurt Goke in Minnesota says of both Lions and pickleball. Goke, who's 77 years old and is a member of the Eden Prairie Lions Club since 2017, plays pickleball three times a week and teaches beginners after church on Sundays. He has competed in 43 tournaments and played in at least 70 venues. His wife, Jane, equally as active, qualified to play in the 2019 Margaritaville USA Pickleball National Championships. Pickleball has also created new fundraising opportunities for clubs. The sport is so popular in Goke's town that the Eden Prairie Lions partnered with the Twin City Pickleball Club to sponsor a tournament as part of the Lions' biggest fundraiser, the annual Schooner Days. Pickleball registration is filled in early April for the June event. When Kurt and Jane swapped their racquetball rackets for pickleball paddles about 14 years ago, few people knew what the sport was. Now all ages vie for time on the courts. A hybrid of badminton, tennis, and ping pong, pickleball has been the fastest growing sport in the U.S. for 3 years running, according to the Sports and Fitness Industry Association. It is played in almost every country. In New Hampshire, Ron Verena, a member of the Keene Lions Club, has enjoyed seeing the sport's popularity explode. Verena is a USA Pickleball Association ambassador and proud to say that he has played on the courts of Bainbridge Island, Washington, where the sport was founded. For about 50 years, he was happy with tennis, playing every week indoor or out with his friend Rich. One day, Rich said he was switching to pickleball. "How would you like to come to a pickleball lesson?" Verena recalls. "I took that one lesson, and I couldn't believe the workout and how much fun it was. I played one more game of tennis, and I never went back." Verena was soon playing pickleball 6 days a week on a tennis court with markings for pickleball. Off court, he found himself dreaming about covering two of the city's old tennis courts into six pickleball courts. A Keene Lion for 53 years, he is known in his club and his community as a man who gets things done. Anxious to make his dream happen for the city of Keene, he began meeting with Lions and city leaders to educate them on pickleball, not just how fun it is, but how it can be used to increase awareness of diabetes and the importance of exercise. Eventually, some of his listeners tried the sport, came back to the table, and supported his efforts. In 2016, the Keene Lions donated $15,000 to have 6 new courts installed as one of 4 legacy initiatives marking the 100-year anniversary of Lions International. Farina's list of people either increased in learning the game or interested in learning the game or getting time on the court had grown to include 350 email addresses. Now 85, balance problems are keeping Farina off the courts, but he hopes his daily exercise will help him ease back into playing. He recently gave up his job as a chairman of the Keene Lions Club Lions Pickleball Jamboree to a new young Lion who also loves the game and was eager to get more involved. In addition, the sport has brought new Lions into the club. Steve Giori was newly retired when he moved to Keene from New Jersey and joined pickleball to meet people. Wanting to be more active in helping the community, he also explored service organizations in town. One day on the court, he asked Farina, "Hey, how can I get involved with Lions?" Today, Giori is president of the Keene Lions Club. When we first opened the gate for new courts, all 6 were immediately filled and there were people waiting. The courts continue to be in constant use, says Farina. People come 20 miles to play. It's about community, camaraderie, and exercise. It's just fun to play. Our next feature article is titled, Let the Children Play. Leo Lions Build Inclusive Park for Their Community. Born with bilateral club foot, 7-year-old Craig Griffin hasn't had the strength or mobility to swing by himself at a playground for most of his young life. And there wasn't a playground in his community with the equipment that he needed to climb into a swing and pump his legs, a slide he could skim down, or a tower he could climb. That will all change for the first grader, who will be one of the first children to try out a new inclusive playground that will open this fall in Caryville, Tennessee. "I'm very excited," he said. "The swings sound like fun, and the slides too." Where there's a need, there's a Leo Lion Club. The playground project was spearheaded by Caryville Cares, a Leo Lion Club that, although only 2 years old, has big plans to provide much-needed resources to their rural community in East Tennessee. The 35-member club started with 2 goals: to give back to the community and to provide an opportunity for young professionals to network and build bonds. "Our community was sorely lacking in an opportunity for young professionals to get together," says Lion Brandon Johnson, club president, who started the club and has led the playground project. "We had a lot of people who wanted to give back, but who didn't know what to do." The idea for an inclusive playground came because Johnson works with Craig's father, Daryl Griffin, who is at an auto and tire repair shop. He knew that Craig, who at different times was in a wheelchair or wearing leg braces, had undergone numerous surgeries and had needed to relearn how to walk at least 10 times. Johnson had also discovered that the closest inclusive playground for children with disabilities was about an hour's drive away, too far for the Griffins and many other families to easily access. "I could see the struggle for Craig of not having a single place he could play with his brother, Dalton," Johnson says. "Having a mobility challenge in our family is not new for us," says Craig's mother, Kendra Griffin, "but it's not really something that's thought about by others in many communities." Dr. Cheyenne Allen, a pediatric physical therapist who works with children with disabilities and a member of the Caryville Cares Leo Lion Club, agreed with Johnson that there was a need for an inclusive playground. "I've heard parents say they wish their children had gone someplace to play where they would not get hurt and where they wouldn't have to apologize to other parents if their child's wheelchair got in the way or if their autistic child had a tantrum," she says. Although an inclusive playground seemed like an important need, the members of Kerryvale Cares didn't assume that an inclusive playground was what the community needed. Instead, they invested time in surveying residents and doing research. They learned that 1 in 5 people in Campbell County, where Kerryvale is located, has a disability. That's double the national average, Johnson notes. They also learned that the county is home to many veterans living with disabilities and to older adults who are raising their grandchildren. We have grandparents and great-grandparents with mobility issues who've never been able to take their grandchildren to the park, says Johnson. Imagine trying to get a wheelchair over wood chips. To further determine their community's needs, club members did in-person interviews and ran polls on social media, an information gathering process that Johnson said was crucial. You've got to look at your community, Johnson says. A lot of the time you think you know your community, but you don't. The club also educated itself and the community about what an inclusive park is and what it would entail to build one. An inclusive park is universally designed, which means it can be used by all people and provides a sensory-rich environment that enables children to develop physically, socially, and emotionally. It also creates play experiences that meet a variety of needs and interests. It's a higher bar than even an ADA accessible park, Johnson says. Building such a facility was no easy feat. The Leo Lions needed to raise $500,000 to see their dream come true. They received a $90,000 LCIF grant and planned various fundraisers, including a Christian comedy show, a Dancing with the Stars style competition featuring local celebrities, dinner, and roadside donation collections. They also set up a text-to-donate system so residents could make donations via their phones. We've done everything and anything you can think of to raise money, says Johnson. This has been 100% led by Leo Lions. A team of young professionals, whose average age is 30, has raised $500,000 in cash. Kerryvale Cares broke ground for the park in November 2022. The city of Kerryvale leased 1.5 acres to the club for $1, a sign that the grateful Leo Lions Club had earned the support of the greater community and its leaders for the playground. We're talking premier real estate for the park site, says Johnson. Land next door is about $800,000 per acre. The deal Kerryvale Cares struck with the city called for the club to build the park and for the city to maintain it, building more than just a playground. The new playground is colorful and inviting with a wide variety of equipment to meet the needs of all children. And Kerryvale Cares plans for the park are just beginning. They are also planning to include an inclusive Halloween celebration and Special Olympics events. They see the playground as a place to bring the community together no matter their needs or abilities. This won't just be a playground. It will be a hub for people with disabilities to be treated fairly, Johnson says. Being a member of Kerryvale Cares and working on the playground project has been a learning experience for Alan, who was often called upon to speak to groups and organizations about the drive to build a playground. She says working on the project has opened her eyes to understand how people in a small community can be galvanized to work toward a common goal for their benefit and the community overall. It's helped me to realize that when you give people the opportunity to help, they take that opportunity, Alan says. It's powerful to see how a small community can come together to create something for the greater good of everyone. Even though the playground has plenty of bells and whistles, some of its less showy elements, such as the soft, flat surface, is appreciated by Kendra Griffin. Previously, even a wrong step on gravel or wood chips would have meant an injury for Craig and a trip to the hospital. She's thrilled that Craig and 13-year-old Dalton can now play together, carefree and no longer needing anyone's assistance. He can be independent now, she says of Craig, and he won't have to worry about getting hurt. Our next article is entitled The Service of Champions, Lions keep cross-country invitational running for 50 years. In a half century of competition, innumerable legacies and memories are built, but not all sporting events last 50 years. This October, the Alexandria Lions Meet of Champions will reach that milestone. And just as they've done every year since helping to launch the event, the Alexandria Lions Club will be there on its 50th anniversary, helping every step of the way. Each year, nearly 2,000 runners ages 6 to 18 from as many as 28 cross-country programs participate in the 8 events of the meet, which has become one of Minnesota's largest cross-country invitationals. In addition, 3,000 to 4,000 spectators attend, creating an electric atmosphere. The stands are packed, says Jalen Miller, a junior with the Alexandria Cardinals girls varsity team. It's so loud you can't even hear who they're cheering for. The Meet of Champions has evolved quite a bit since it began in 1973. In the early years, the race took place in the city park with Lions manually recording the runners' times. Today, runners compete on a well-manicured 3.1-mile, which is 5-kilometer course, at a nearby resort with professional electronic timing systems recording their results. We used to have a half dozen Lions waiting in the chutes, said Lion Ron Branch, the Alexandria Club's treasurer. We had to get the members from all of the runners when they we had to get the numbers from all of the runners when they crossed the finish line. While technology has modernized the event, it could never replace the heartbeat of the event, which is the Lions. Lion Jerry Hansen has volunteered to help with the Meet of Champions since 1982. Which was his first year as a Lion. I make a lot of calls, says Hansen, the club's event chairperson for the past 15 years. Everyone knows what needs to get done, and we get things done quickly. Preparation begins in the off-season. The Lions' involvement begins long before the first starting pistol fires on race day. The club does year-round fundraising. Hansen estimates the club holds at least 12 to 15 waffle feeds during the year, often as part of local church events or private graduation parties, to raise funds for the Meet of Champions as well as the Lions Eye Bank. The fundraisers are such a success that the club has a trailer branded with the Alexandria Lions Club logo that's fully stocked with equipment to feed up to 300 people. Proceeds from the waffle feeds help cover vital aspects of the race, including trophies and medals. Hansen estimates the Lion purchase around 100 trophies each year at a cost of nearly $1,500. The most meaningful of the Lion's trophies is a traveling plaque that goes home with the winning team each year to display until the next race. Countless memories of victory and camaraderie are represented in that plaque. The trophies are a starting point to attracting great runners, says Jerry Admonson, Alexandria's assistant cross-country coach for 42 years. That comes as no surprise when you see them on display during the event, stretching across two tables in blue and gold columns that evoke a city skyline. The Alexandria Lions are committed to making sure that runners leave the event feeling like champions. A well-oiled machine. In addition to buying the trophies, the Lions pitch in wherever they can. Over the years, they've secured land use permissions, found parking solutions, rented portable toilets and hospitality tents, and paid for electronic race timing. On race day, dozens of Lions help set up the course, which usually involves clearing the colorful fall foliage to make way for the runners and assist in almost every aspect of the event. Some help to direct traffic in the parking lots, while others act as guides on the course and finish line judges. My daughter runs cross country, says Hansen. We've seen disorganized meets. People are impressed by how well the Meet of Champions is run. Teamwork breeds champions. It's clear that the Meet of Champions has left a deep impression on the city of Alexandria. After 50 years, the event is embedded in the town, says Hansen. It becomes a part of the fabric. The Alexandria Lions Club is just as ingrained in their community's fabric as the cross-country event that bears its name. While the Meet of Champions is their most prominent event and their waffle feeds have become a mainstay, Their service in the community is continuous and unwavering. And it does not go unnoticed. The Alexandria Lions are interconnected everywhere in the city, says Admonson. What started as a Lions Club connecting with a school to create a sporting event 50 years ago has become so much more. According to Travis Hochhalter, head coach of Alexandria Cross Country, the meet of champions is a culmination of who Alexandria is. And we have saved a little time for some club news at the end here. This is all from July of 2023. Beginning with the James City Lions in Virginia, used the spot screener on the Lions sight and hearing van to conduct vision screenings for members of ARC of Greater Williamsburg, an organization advocating for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and serving them and their families. For the 13th year, the Ysleta Five Points and Del Norte Lions Clubs in Texas has sponsored the Lions Club school uniform swap at East Lake High School. The swap is open to families from all districts and schools. Those who wanted first dibs at the exchange were encouraged to turn their clean, gently used uniforms beforehand to receive a voucher allowing them to shop on the first day of the event. Participants did not have to trade in uniforms to receive assistance. In Washington, the Ridgeville Vancouver and Fort Vancouver Lions pitched in to help the Washington State School for the Blind at its annual track and field day. The event attracted around 250 participants from across the Pacific Northwest. Athletes participated in events including the sprint, long jump, high jump, modified javelin, and shot put. The Amarillo Lions Club in Texas assisted flood evacuees at the Amarillo Civic Center. Lions Club's District 2T1 partnered with American Red Cross of Greater North Texas, using the Lions Alert mobile kitchen to feed evacuees lunch and dinner for 4 days. The Fargo Gateway Lions in North Dakota and the Barnesville Lions in Minnesota assisted the furniture mission of the Red River Valley in collecting truckloads of donated furniture to be re-gifted to people in need. The Matatuck Lions Clubs in New York welcomed guests to their 68th annual Strawberry Festival fundraiser, which included something new this year. Concerned that attendees were unaware that it is a charitable event and all proceeds are donated by the Matatuck Lions, members explained the work of Lions, LCIF, and how local Lions help the community. A presentation by the Guide Dog Foundation, America's Vet Dogs, followed with a chance to meet a veteran and his dog from America's Vet Dogs. Matatuck Lions donated $50,000 to the Guide Dog Foundation and America's Vet Dogs. And unfortunately, we have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And again, that's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful day. Thank you.